Good morning, folks. It's Luke Clayton, and welcome to Campfire Talk with Larry Wysoon and myself. Larry and I have been bringing Campfire Talk to you now for over 8 years, and trust me, it's as much fun today as when we first kicked it off. Campfire Talk is brought to us by the Dallas Safari Club, Texas Wildlife Association, Sitemark, maker of the Photon XT and the Photon RT, Kuby Sausage House and Wild Game Processing in Dallas, the Choctaw Hunting Lodge, Larry's TV show, Dallas Safari Club's Trailing the Hunter's Moon, and Striper Express up on Lake Texoma. Well, folks, the whitetail deer rut is underway. Right now is what I consider just the beginning of the very best part of it. And who better to have than Mr. Wysoon? Larry's standing by. I hear him in the background. Larry, you're at the campfire ready to talk deer hunting, no doubt.
I am, and I'm smiling. I'll tell you what, when that first cold front hit about 10-12 days ago, whatever it was, I have been excited. You know, if I hadn't had the mumps in years past with my neck swelling like this, you know, I think I might have the mumps because my neck is swelled probably about like a lot of those rutting bucks are right now.
I hear you, Larry. Well, yeah, it's around these parts, and I hunt several different areas, you know, but
right
here close to home, I've one little patch of woods I've hunted for 15 years, and I swear you won't see a buck. I mean, on trail cameras, I keep a couple of trail cameras going year-round for hogs mostly. You won't see a buck on this place until that first, from now through November, and they start moving. There's always does around, and, I contribute that to the reason the bucks are coming in, but I'm looking for some pretty good deer to come through. We have some good deer in this area, but you don't see them until the rut kicks off, Larry.
You know, it's amazing. We've got spots like that, too, that I've hunted in years past. I used to hunt in Kentucky, right about where Illinois, Kentucky, and Indiana come together on the Ohio River up there. And the area that I hunted on that property that we leased for several years, to begin with, until the rut kind of got started, you wouldn't hardly see a buck at all. You'd see a few does. But it seemed like once that rut kind of got started, that little old bottom that I hunted would just get covered up with bucks. And, you know, sometimes there's no rhyme or reason, but you mentioned the key to, I think, to it right there a while ago is when you said that's where the does are. And, of course, right now these bucks are going to go where the does are, trying to find a receptor doe. But you're right, the rut's kicked off. It started about a week or 10 days ago in my little old place when that cold front blew in. It wasn't so much that the cold front blew in, it was just normally time. But, yeah, this time of year when these old bucks are geared up and starting to put on winter hair, I mean, when it turns a little bit cooler, they get more active just simply, I think, because they feel better, kind of like some of the rest of us do. By golly, get out instead of having to deal with hot weather day after day.
Exactly, Larry. Well, you know, there's so much hunting right now. Is just this is prime time. Let's see now. Next, 1 week from tomorrow, I head up to New Mexico. I've really been looking forward to getting up there with David Williams and his wife Regina, and Jeff Rice is going to go with me and do some filming while he's up there and hunting also, but I'm fired up about the mule deer. That's something I've hunted mule deer off and on sporadically, you know, through the years, but never enough, you know.
That part I understand.
David Williams has been showing me some pictures of some really nice mule deer, what we would call good representative mule deer bucks on his ranch up there. So chances are real good. And he's got, I'll tell you something also, Larry, this rifle that Ruger came out with, it's a Hawkeye long range 300 Win Mag. I haven't had my hands on it yet, but I got it shipped right on up there. And David is a lifelong gunsmith. I think he was a Browning certified to work on Brownings when he was 17. You know, I mean, he's been in the gun business all his life.
He
knows gun, and he's a shooter. You know, so. Anyway, he's had that thing out at 1,000 yards in phenomenal groups, but I'm going to use that. It's a bit different than what I usually hunt with, you know, Larry. It's 300 Win Mag, you know, and
right.
There's a spot up there on his ranch called Hidden Valley, and it could afford shots that are long, but I think I'd much rather have the closer the better for me, even though I do have a rifle. I'll be shooting one that'll reach out there, you know. I'm going to try to get one. Chances are good to get a good shot within a couple hundred yards, you know.
Oh, I bet you can do that. I'm really kind of jealous like you, but I've hunted mule deer a pretty fair amount in several states, and hunted a little bit up in Canada and hunted them down in Mexico as well, too. And like you say, you'd never get enough of hunting mule deer. Part of, the lure of all that is the fact that where they live. I mean, mule deer live in some of the prettiest country there is in North America. And to me, a really good mule deer is, as I've said so many times in the past, is probably one of the hardest animals to come by in North America. I mean, they're big whitetail scattered around, they're big elk and big everything else, but I mean, even where there are lots of big mule deer, there are very few big mule deer. So
I know.
Anytime you can get one of those bucks that's got, you know, the double forks on the front front and back forks, and maybe a brow tine, and start hitting that 24, 26 inch spread, I mean, that's darn good deer anymore. I got a feeling you're going to find something or at least see some of those like that.
Yeah, last year I got I shot the first good-sized deer that came out. My hunt was over, 2 hours into the first morning last year up there. But I was out there hunting this same hidden meadow back there. It's within, a quarter of a mile of the Continental Divide. You can look to the left when you kind of hunt one edge of that meadow where it affords good visibility, but you can look back and to the west there, and then you can see the Continental Divide. It's only a quarter of a mile over there to it. David's ranch goes over the divide. We didn't go up there. You'd have to want to be up there because it's pretty steep, you know. But he said his fence is over there. And then on the other side of that fence is the Jicarilla, you know, the Indian reservation. So
what a fantastic area.
It's a wild part of the state because you can buy, it's a unit 6, I think it's 6A, I'd have to check again, but the unit is over the counter. There's a special season, 5-day season in early November, and that's when we hunt there. And you can buy your out-of-state tags right over the phone or in a Walmart or whatever, you know.
Kind of like the old days, by golly.
Yeah, it is. That's what one of the things I like about it so much. But then, if you want to hunt the Jicarilla, it's a whole different ball game.
It is. I mean, they do have some really big mule deer, and they manage the deer up there. And there's a fair number of elk scattered up through that area too. But I mean, the beauty of the country to me is a part of that draw that keeps me wanting to go back hunting mule deer. And unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to do that this year. I'm spending almost all my time on whitetails, and while you're up there, I'm going to be hunting my little place. And I've actually got one of my daughters is hunting with me opening weekend, and so I'm anxious to see what we can find. A legal buck is one that has 4 points per side and has a 13-inch inside spread. So anything that meets with those
criteria,
raptors, if you will, is going to be in danger of being hung in the tree and hopefully cool enough to where it'll age a little bit and then go into the freezer.
Into the Wysoon freezer, exactly.
Amen, by God.
You bet you. You know, you mentioned elk. Back to New Mexico, we shotgun and cover all kind of topics in our little visit each week, Larry. But David has he's got one bull elk tag this year. They do a lot. How many? But there's a lot of elk. And they're coming out of that high country, and they started a couple of 3 weeks ago. He's showing me trail cameras of a good 5x5 bull, and they get down in there, and there's more food down in that valley, and they hang down there for sometimes. He said they spend the winter there, you know. But there's lots of elk in that area too, and so that's just something else to get fired up about, you know, Larry.
Just enjoying and watching and listening. All those other kind of good things that go along with a hunt like that.
Yeah. Last year I saw the way that little hunt short hunt unfolded, looked up and there was four or five cow elk come through that within ease, 150 yards out, and a raghorn, you know, a smaller bull come right out behind them. And then here about 30 minutes later, we were contemplating moving a little bit, but three or four white mule deer doe come out, and then the buck behind them, and then bang, it was all over. You know, it was, that's the way that one worked. But you know, something, I just did an article for a magazine, Larry, that really got me thinking, and it was about deer stands, hunting stands.
Yeah.
And I know that, do you remember, I know you remember back in the 60s, some of the stands we hunted out of. I mean, I had some that were kind of a elaborate treehouse, you know. You can remember some of those, I know.
I've hunted out of several of those, but I can also remember several of them in the 60s where it was just sitting at a fork of a tree or standing in the fork of a tree, or you might nail some 2x4s, you know, up the tree to where you yep. crawl up and have a 1x6 kind of wedged in between a fork, you know, up there somewhere.
I've
something.
Been there, yep.
We've had, over the years, it's been interesting. I mean, now these days, I still love hunting on the ground, quite frankly.
I know you do.
The tents that I get, because I can, if the wind turns and I don't have my Ozonix unit with me, or which I normally do now all the time, but I can quickly change wherever I want to go, and I just love the challenge of that eye-to-eye ground-level hunting kind
yep.
of thing. And, but there's some really good stands out there, and some of them have gotten to be, you know, bigger than some of the kind of semi-tree houses we used to have years ago.
You bet. I've been dwelling on that for the last couple of days, but an article that I wrote on how we've changed, progressed, if you will, you know, in the ways we hunt. And my first deer hunt was in my brother-in-law put, I was 11 years old, first real deer hunt.
Uh-huh.
I used to load that old Mossberg 410 with rifle slugs and call it deer hunting when I was younger than 11. But
right.
He stuck me up in a bull pine tree. I was about, for an evening hunt, I was about 11 years old, and he and a couple of his buddies went on back in the woods there where they were hunting. And I remember sitting on that pine limb and just excited, just thrilled. Didn't see one, but it was exciting.
It didn't make any difference.
It didn't matter, Larry. Well, gosh, they're telling me we're just about out of time for our campfire talk this week. But Trailing the Hunter's Moon, I want everybody that's not watching it to tune it in. It's an awesome show, and a lot of whitetail segment,
yes,
series
we're,
now.
We're doing a lot of whitetail things, and we got a lot of whitetail hunts coming up next year. And too, if for some reason they don't get it on whatever TV they have, they can go to their computer and go to the Pursuit Up TV, PursuitUpTV.com, and they can see the shows there free of charge as well too.
PursuitUpTV.com.
.com.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Well, Larry, let's get back with everybody and visit with all of our buddies this time next week. What do you say?
I can hardly wait.
Folks, if you're a shooter, I need to hook you up with Hunter's Supply. Now, Hunter's Supply provides quality cast lead bullets for every facet of the shooting world, from target shooting to hunting. Hunter's Supply bullets have been put to the test all over the world. They've taken a Big Five in Africa, as well as a lot of moose and grizzly bear in North America. Single action cowboy shooters get their bullets from Hunter's Supply, as well as air rifle shooters. You can go online to huntersupply.com and check them out. When you make an order, you need to be aware that the shipping is included in the price of the bullets.
Folks, for about the past 18 months, I've been using a Photon XT by Sightmark. It's a night hunting scope, and you can use it during the daytime too. Absolutely awesome for hunting hogs. I probably killed 20 or 25 hogs using the Photon XT, and I shoot hogs at ranges of 100 yards and less. Now, it's not thermal. You won't be shooting 300 or 400 yards with it, but for most of us, and especially for the price, it is awesome. Now, the Photon RT is out now, and it has a camera mode sound on it. For a few hundred bucks more, you can get that model. I am just putting it to work, and so far I really like what I found. But just go to sightmark.com and check them out. Folks, if you're in the market for a new feeder, I want to hook you up with my buddy Carl Harmon that owns Ultramatic Feeders. You can go online to ultramaticfeeders.com or simply give Carl a call, 877-428-4637. Carl makes some awesome feeders. I've got one that I've had in the woods either 9 or 10 years, and all I've had to do is replace the battery about every 3 years on it. Again, that's ultramaticfeeders.com. Folks, this is Luke. I want to introduce you to an awesome line of lifetime hunting blinds, Cantex hunting blinds. You can go online to CantexDeerBlinds.com. There's an online store there. And if you really want to get in one of them and check them out, they're headquartered right outside of Kaufman, Texas, just a few miles outside from downtown Kaufman. But the website, again, is CantexDeerBlinds.com. And there's phone numbers and everything, all your contact information there. Check it out and then give Richard a call over there at Cantex. He'll put you in a blind that you won't have to worry about.